Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
And with that, we bring on Gord Wilson.
Yes, we do.
Kicking off the second hour of the show, a little Sens and NHL insider action early.
Yep.
Because Gord's going to be busy getting sound, as he always does for his post-practice. And then he's got to get to the airport with the team and then off to Jersey. So it's 11:05. It's time for a Sens and NHL insider segment just ahead of Sens practice today here at Canadian Tire Center. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'm just fine. Thank you. All is good here in the downtown studio, the lower studio, just outside the Senators' locker room. So we've got this, we've got the rink surrounded, don't we? Dina will be here shortly, and we'll be out watching the practice and watching Tyler Cleven, perhaps, and go from there. Yeah.
Okay, let's dive right in then, shall we? Do you have any concern on the status of Jacob Chychrun and Thomas Chabot, as both players some concern in the third period at the very end of the game last night with injury, possibly?
Yeah, you know what? I don't, and I only say that because of the updates we got from DJ Smith regarding, first of all, Jacob Chychrun, root canal in the morning, and there were a couple of incidents throughout the game last night that sort of bothered him and made him uncomfortable. One was obviously a collision of some sort. Some say slew foot that involved Victor Hedman. They certainly
some
all,
say.
Yeah,
what?
They obviously had. Well, I didn't see it, so I honestly did not see it, and I missed the replay and looked for it this morning and couldn't find it. So
it was a slew foot.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Gloves off. Challenge the Chiefs, Gord.
Challenge the Chiefs, yeah. And it obviously it ticked off Jacob, and for good reason. And
yeah.
When Hedman, all I saw was Jacob pick himself up, but he went down hard and pick himself up and go right after Victor Hedman. Just after the goal was scored, he went right after Hedman. And Hedman did so much trying to defend himself, I think, that it – you just are guilty by association, right? And that's obviously unfortunate. And the coach didn't give us any indication that he was any worse for wear. And as for Thomas Chabot, he looked just fine post-game last night. He was he was upbeat and obviously excited about the win. So he,
good,
too, did
all
not
right
give us any indication.
All right. Just some general thoughts on what turned into be a pasting of the Tampa Bay Lightning last night.
Well, you know, Chris, I heard your comments earlier, and I totally agree in that they looked out of sorts, and it started right off the get-go. Now, granted, they didn't get the saves that they needed early, and Vasilevsky was sitting in the locker room watching this one from afar, not even on the bench. He was just, this is what he does, his routine on the day off, and he deserved a day off. They didn't get the saves that they needed, and as a result, I think the attitude just kind of slumped along with the goaltending performance, and the Senators obviously took full advantage of that. But I don't disagree with you when you made those comments about something's missing here.
Yeah.
There's a little something missing. They lost to Montreal. That's three in a row here now to teams of lesser caliber, and there just seems to be a disconnect. And I brought up the same thing you did, Chris, about earlier this month. In a 5-3 loss to Buffalo in Buffalo, sitting point Kucherov and Stamkos for the entire third period, when the game was still in doubt. The outcome was still very much in doubt. So there's only so many times, so many buttons you can press. And John Cooper is now 11 years behind the bench of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Wow.
And, longest tenured coach in the NHL. And at some point, you're right. The voice gets worn out, and the players start to tune out.
But it does feel like, to your point, there's only, you know, so many knives in the drawer that you can pull out. And when that for me was the first sign. The first eyebrow raiser was when you bench three of your top guys who have accomplished so much for you, gone to the wall for you, won cups together. And when you bench those guys for an entire period, that's embarrassing for them. You've publicly embarrassed those guys.
Yep.
And to me, that is a desperate move that you've sensed that the message isn't getting through and you need to do something drastic. And that to me was the first indication that, this the coach is getting right down to the bottom of the barrel now. And I thought that was a great point that Lloydy made, that when Garrett Rank came to the bench to allow Cooper to have his say and listen to him, and Stamkos basically turned towards the coach as the captain and basically said, okay, that's enough, shut up, because next we're probably going to get another penalty out of this. Things are not right on the Gulf Coast of Florida right now.
Right, yeah. Now, that being said, they're guaranteed a playoff spot. They've been to a final 3 consecutive years. They've won 2. you don't count your chickens until they're hatched.
No.
But
doesn't it add like another level of intrigue to the Toronto Tampa series now heading into the playoffs? Because that's going to be like, okay, well, maybe they're going to turn it up now and be one big happy family and start singing Kumbaya and we'll see what they can do against the Leafs. But right now, that to me is one of the most intriguing stories, a team that's been to, what, 3 Stanley Cup finals.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see this going on, and it just, you know, we've all been around a long time watching games. You just get that sense when something's off. And they were surly last night. Like, they are just a team that's not in a good mood. They're not in a good place right now.
Let me throw this at both of you then.
Yeah.
You think maybe John Cooper, he's doing that by design? He's trying
firing
to...
Firing him up?
He's trying to... He's going old school? Like,
maybe.
Old school way of coaching? Guys, I'm pushing buttons. I'm not your friend. And
maybe.
Because, we've been to 3 finals in a row and so much success. I'm just trying to rattle some cages late in the year.
Yeah.
I want you off balance.
Yeah.
Could that be a method?
Maybe it'll work.
I don't know. Anyways, but something to keep an eye on.
Can't wait for the playoffs now.
Yeah. You know what's funny here? He's got 2 Stanley Cups. He's been to a couple. He's never won the Jack Adams Award. he's never won Coach of the Year. Bizarre. And that's a knock on the Broadcasters Association, or it's a shot fired at what I'm a member of, the Broadcast Association. And I'm just seeing now a very, very good replay from an end zone camera that I did not have yesterday and this morning.
I tweeted one out and I tagged you in it, so I don't know if you got that one, but there was one by the broadcaster last night that's got a good view of it.
And down hard on his hip, and I did see that, but I didn't see the actual connection and the leg sweeping from Victor Hedman. So you know what, and the way he argued, again, I'll point this out, the way he argued, he's trying to defend himself because he knows he's guilty.
Well, and he kind of gave it to the old, I'm looking the other way, and oh, geez, what happened over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably not that high a voice, but yeah.
You're probably right.
You don't need to high voice me here, Chris. Okay, I'm on your side.
But that was one of those, oh, look at the mess I created right behind. What happened there? How did that go down?
For sure.
Tommy boy, what'd you do? Car doors coming off at the gas pump.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
get this back on the rails.
I am. I'm going to bring it back because I think it's twofold. Jacob Chychrun was not in a good mood. He had a root canal.
Yeah,
I'm not sleeping.
Yeah.
And this happens. And on top of that, Jacob Chychrun would have noticed, and the entire Sens bench would have noticed. You're already mad because Janot, that was a even more deliberate salute on Travis Hamonic. So I think everybody's on tilt as it is.
Yeah,
and so there is zero benefit of the doubt flowing through the mind of Jacob Chychrun, right?
Yeah.
When that happens, Gord, I think that contributed to maybe him being extra mad.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this is the every team preaches one for all for one, and they talk about being a family, and there's no question when Travis went back to the bench, everybody talked about him being slew-footed and defending a teammate, right? So, yeah, there's no question that the game started to turn rather ugly, and that's to the liking of the hometown team. I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Your late breaking news for you, Gord. I know you're down in the studio. Thomas Chabot was one of the first guys on the ice.
There you go. There you be. Yeah. I think they'll want to get the practice underway a little earlier than normal, as they normally do on travel days. And And that'll be that. So we are quite prepared. And now, speaking of, how about Tanner Jeannot? Okay, I think that was his 13th game.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a Cal foot. There's a serious prospect involved. And then five draft picks, including a first-round pick. And he has three assists and was almost invisible last night, other than the illegal check that he had on Travis Hamonic.
Yep, but it's all food for thought for us right now, because it's all about the playoffs, especially with that team. But that early returns, that he hasn't settled in, let's put it that way, nicely, with the Tampa Bay Lightning yet. All right, as practice is about to get underway, actually three of the defensemen are on the ice from last night's game already. And the other one, because Sanderson's out there with Shabbat, and so is Eric Brännström, Gord. Mm-hmm. And we saw flashes, more than flashes, of what made him a first-round pick, what we all thought at the time, he's going to be a really dynamic offensive player at the NHL level. To this point, that has not been the case, but we've talked about him quite a bit this season, in that I think he's worked really hard. And because most guys hit the NHL, and you have to change your game. You can't be exactly what you were. That's the case for most players. He's become better defensively. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get tagged with big hits nearly as often. He's become a big part of the penalty kill. DJ Smith mentioned him by name as their best defenseman last night. Mm-hmm. And he had the wow factor. That was a nice pass to DeBrincat for one of the goals, and then the rush. Now, you could talk about Tampa. What are you doing giving up the line in the middle of the ice so easily? Anyways, mm-hmm. That was a beautiful play from Eric Brännström.
Yeah.
He's quietly been a very nice story, I think, this season for the Ottawa Senators, because nothing's been handed to him. He's not the ideal defenseman for a coach that always says, I like big guys, but he's found his role. And, I think he's taken a significant step this season.
Yeah, he has.
I'm not calling him a top four world beater.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm just,
okay.
All I'm saying is I wondered if he was going to play in the league full-time, Gordon.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing a guy that he's put himself in a place where he is, and I don't know what the future is going to be. It could be in another organization next season. Sorry, I didn't want to get carried away. I want to temper my comments. Because
sounded like you were starting to get carried away.
No, I'm not getting carried away. All I'm saying is I respect the work that he's put in.
100%.
And he put himself, at least in my eyes, in a little bit better place than he was at the start of the year.
100%. I don't disagree with that at all. Are there warts on every player? Yep, there are. And unfortunately for Eric Brännström, he stands 5'6", maybe 5'7". Okay, and that's a huge detriment to this young man, and that's unfortunate. This is a team for me that continues to lose too many battles in their own end. And Chris, we talk a lot about those 50-50 challenges.
Yep.
And I have said on more than one occasion that it's 60-40, 75-25 in favor of the opposition when there's play in the Ottawa end. And Eric Brännström, unfortunately, loses his share of battles, maybe more than his share of battles. Was last night a good game? Yep, it was a good game for him, and it's much needed. He has two goals, though, this year. He went 123 or 124 games without a goal this year, and into last year. More is expected of him, but I'll agree with your point that he has taken great strides.
Yes.
Great strides. He's a plus one on a team that's well below, and plus minus, goals for, goals against, well below on the minus side of things. So, to his credit, and he doesn't face severe opposition or high opposition on every shift like a Shabbat or like a Jacob Chychrun is going to do in the next little while, or an Artem Zub. Or a Travis Hamonic, or Jake Sanderson, for that matter. But he's certainly improved. There's no question about that. Whether he's back with the team or not next year remains to be seen. I would hope so. A very good depth player here as this team evolves and grows.
Well, and, I mean, for whatever stock you put in the fancy stats or whatever, he's got the best Corsi on the team among the defensemen. So the play, you know, 883 shot attempts for when he's on the ice, 711 against, 55.4. That's the best among the defensemen, third best on the team after Claude Giroux and Brady Tkachuk. So more often than not, the puck is where it needs to be. But to your point, Gord, Yes, the one-on-one battles, those crucial moments upon which a game can turn, needs to be better. And given the size issue, you wonder how much better it can get. There's times where he just gets out-muscled.
Yep. Yes, that's the bottom line. And yeah. And this team is not going to improve defensively unless they improve their inability to win those battles.
Right.
And it sounds very simple, but from where I sit, it's painfully obvious. Just painfully obvious.
And that's why, as a Senators fan, I think Senators fans can feel good about, you know, the progression of adding size there with Chychrun coming into the mix and, mm-hmm. and now Cleven, you know, however far away you think Cleven might be from being a regular in the National Hockey League, he's going to be the biggest guy on this blue line if and when he does arrive. So the trend towards that size, which we've seen is necessary, you look at the teams that go to the Stanley Cup Final, and one of the things that is notable about their blue lines usually is they've got a couple of those really, really big guys that can defend. So good on Erik Brännström, because at least he's keeping his name in the conversation, and he should be able to fight for a spot. And I think he's established himself now, as you guys have said, as a National Hockey League player.
Mm-hmm.
But is that future with the Ottawa Senators going to be another great question as this summer unfolds?
All right. Close to half the group's on the ice here. Don't see Tyler Cleven yet. I do see Matthew Joseph in a yellow gourd.
So good stuff.
He's inching towards maybe a return to the lineup from what's been ailing him here at some point. So let me ask you about Tyler Cleven. The GM said there was no promises made to play, but would you be of the mind like I am? I'd be very surprised if he does not play a game or two between now and the end of the regular season. It's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very eager to see it. We all like to see the shiny new toys, right?
Yeah,
about
exactly.
What he can bring. Because on paper, what he's been at UND, man, you want that guy in your team, right? If you can be that at the NHL level, to have a mean, big hammer on the blue line. Like,
right.
Unfortunately, the opposite of Erik Brännström, right? Of what he brings in that kind of a role. So do you think he does get into a game before the end of the year?
I do, yeah. I think it's here's the scenario. His season just ends at UND, right? So he's in game mode. He's ready to go and continue to play games. He's got to practice, obviously, at the NHL level. I honest to goodness, fellas, we have to just remind ourselves and remind everybody that it is a massive jump from no matter how much of a star you are at the college level, it's a massive jump to professional hockey, especially the NHL level. So he'll get a game or two in, or maybe even more than that, but I think they'll want to get a couple of practices in before that. I'm thinking that he's probably going to come on this road trip, experience life on the road in the National Hockey League. Look at this charter plane. Boy, oh boy, you're going to travel in style here now, live in style. You're a member of the National Hockey League's Players Association. Congratulations on that. And here's a taste of what you can expect. But you can only fully appreciate this taste if you continue to work hard. That means practice every day, in the gym every day, follow what the others are doing, learn from what the others are doing, give him a little bit of a taste of that, and then get him into a game and see what happens. And if all things go according to plan or as hoped, he'll see another game and another game after that. It depends, though, on where this team is. I mean, a win last night means we're still talking about the potential of a playoff spot. And until we stop talking about the potential, I think that's probably when we'll see Tyler Cleven.
Well, we see him now. Just as we were starting, he's hopped onto the ice.
Ooh-hoo.
And he was skating beside Jake Sanderson, who buddies with, former roommates, right?
For sure, yep.
Sanderson's listed at 6'2".
Yep.
Very noticeable
when
Tyler Cleven's on the ice. And he just had a long chat with Jack Capuano, who runs the D as well. And now he's just out there cruising around waiting for the start of practice. That's a big human. He's listed at 6'5". And I know a lot of people, if you look at what he was listed at. If you go to Elite Prospects or Hockey DB, it's like 6'4 at around 200 or so. If you go to UND's page, which is the start of this year, he's 6'5, 213.
Yeah.
So here we are in March. Yeah, I wonder what he is now.
Automatically the biggest defenseman on the team. Yeah. Right? And you would hope, based on the discussion we had earlier about battles won and battles lost, size doesn't automatically mean you're going to win 75% of the battles you're in your own end. Braden Point wins an awful lot of battles on the forecheck, right?
Yeah.
But he would automatically provide instant size and a different look that other teams are now looking at in terms of going up against not Brännström-sized defensemen.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because he had just a minute ago skated behind Brännström. He went beside. He was going across the ice, and Brännström was standing in the slot, and he went by him, and he's like head and shoulders taller than Brännström.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, as we wrap this up, Gord, because you want to hop up into the stands and you want to get a look at all this. Like I said, practice hasn't started yet. A lot of the players are out here, but not everybody. I don't see Chychrun yet, something to keep an eye on as well. But Clevin's here, Shabbat's here, Matthew Joseph's in a yellow. We've got Sogard, we got Fergalicious. We're ready to go, Gord. Okay?
Okay,
you get up to the stands, you observe practice, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, okay. Good news on Matthew Joseph, and my suspicions are that Cam Talbot will, if not starting to skate on his own yet, will be doing so this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Gord.
Have a good trip.
Okay, fellas. Thank you. Cheers, boys.
Gord Wilson, as our Sens and NHL insider. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, practice should be pretty close to getting fully underway, and then we'll get a better handle on pairings, who's there, who's not, and we'll bring you all the information from CTC. Sens' next game, of course, is in Newark, New Jersey, to take on the Devils tomorrow night, and we'll have it on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back to it. Steve Lloyd, Chris Stevenson, producer Matt Conisvita spinning the tunes for us here. Practice is now well underway, so we can tell you Tyler Clevin's out there. Jacob Chychrun not a part of practice, so that'll be a question for the coach afterwards. We'll carry that for you live and get an update, hopefully a positive update on the status of Jacob Chychrun. Clevin, because people might be wondering, he's out there wearing number 43, and he's a big guy. We knew that. He's very noticeable out there. And you know what, CJ, think at first blush, I don't know. Because you always wonder, big guy, must not be that mobile. He gets around the ice quite well, at least in this practice. So we'll see whenever he gets an opportunity to play. Don't think it would be that soon, but we'll see. And hopefully we get a good update on Jacob Chychrun. This team still believes they're making the push, and if he can't go, that'd be a pretty significant loss.
Yeah, I mean, I guess from the reports we heard last night about having had the root canal and the fact that he left in the third was because of cramping, that hopefully it's just a matter of giving him a morning off, rehydrating, getting over the root canal and everything else. So, like you said, we'll get the update when practice is over from the coach, but hopefully it's just a matter of giving him, as they used to like to say in Montreal, a therapy day.
What, with therapy rather than maintenance?
Yes.
Load management?
Therapy day.
Did you see that Leafs gave Morgan Riley a load management night last night?
Yes, I did see that.
All right.
We're officially in the run-up to the playoffs now.
Now, I didn't mean to go in this direction, but I will. This the last few years, and it's been brought up, it's become a concern in the NBA.
Yes, of course.
Because on the one hand, you can understand why teams would want to do that, to keep their best players fresh for when it matters most, if you can allow that to happen, if you've got yourself in a particular spot in the standings. But on the other hand, this is a business, and you're expecting people, if said superstar comes to town and you sell more tickets because of that as a league for that game, and then all of a sudden load management happens, you're like, why did I shell out that kind of money for me and, say, my kid to go to the game to watch LeBron James?
Yep.
what's going on here.
Yeah.
If there's nothing really wrong with him. Now, the NHL had a bit of a concern. It was talked about when the GMs met. It was brought up at least, right? With being held out of the lineup for trade-related reasons like Jacob Chychrun, like Gavrikov, like yep. many players.
Yep.
Is that a concern as well? How do you think the NHL navigates that?
It's going to lead, I would think, and the discussion has started. But how do you walk that line between, you know, a team's individual interests and trying to win against the greater good, which is questions about competitiveness, right? When teams opt to hold a player out for trade-related reasons, they're usually pretty good players. So now you're bringing into question, you know, the level of competition for teams that are battling for points and for a playoff spot.
There's that element as well, yeah.
You know, is Arizona a better team with Chychrun in there? Bill Armstrong might not think so. But
how many different directions do you want to go with this conversation?
GM saying he was terrible. They're a better team with Chychrun in the lineup, and you decide to keep him out for trade-related reasons. All of those scenarios. It's an interesting conversation. Like, to some extent, I feel like the teams have to protect the asset, right? Because if a guy gets injured and suffers a season-ending injury, now you've got no trade value attached to him at all. But the league, for me, the league has to address how far out. You know, maybe that's what winds up entering the scenario. I'm just riffing off the top of my head here. But maybe you can only start holding a guy out for trade-related reasons 10 days before the trade deadline or 2 weeks. If that's the reason that you're going to give, then maybe there's a time limit on it. Because mm-hmm. I think it is a real issue. If you had a team that's going to hold three of its best players out of the lineup, wow, this goes so many different directions. They're going to want it. If you're in that circumstance where you're a seller at the trade deadline, you're probably not a good team. You're looking to move up in the your odds in the draft lottery. So that's, again, playing into your hands as well, right? Oh, let's take three of our best guys out of the lineup. Say that they're not playing for trade-related reasons. Maybe that helps us tank a little bit. I think it's a legit issue that needs to be addressed by the league.
I'll say this, as a league, especially the NHL, which does not have the media and television deals of the other leagues, the major leagues, the other big three, right? Well, there's really the big one, right? There's the NFL's on an island. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And then it would be, you know, NBA and MLB.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do, because I don't care what sport you're watching, it's become so much easier and easier for people to justify not coming to the game in person. I'm just going to invest in a, you know, kick-ass home theater experience with my 4K this and surround sound that. And, you know, that's how I'm going to fan more often than not.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to give any of my fans or my customers any other reasons, you know, beyond what I just outlined.
Yeah.
A reason to not come to a game. Like, let's say, like,
for sure.
Like, there are certain players that are draws, right? It's what if Connor McDavid, the odd time of the Oilers, started taking some days off for load management? Oilers come here once a year, and a lot of people would buy tickets because he's one of the guys in the league, and he's the guy, let's be honest. But there's a handful of players that we always say, who would you pay to see?
Yep. Yep.
He sells tickets in every rink in this league. Do you want to start to give fans a reason to think, and there's a lot of premium pricing that goes on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Around the league. Teams will charge more when the Oilers come to town because they know people want to see Connor McDavid.
Good point. I'll Very good points.
Then you get into secondary market prices, whatever, right? Last thing I want to do is give my customers a reason to think about, you know what, maybe he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Even if he's hurt, maybe he doesn't play. Do I really want to go hundreds and hundreds of dollars deep here to do this? No, you don't. So it's a bit of a tightrope here you're walking.
Yeah, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed by the general managers and the league, because it really does have a number of different impacts on your product. And it's balancing the greater good against the individual needs of the team, right? The team wants to protect the value of the asset. But how much are you impacting competitiveness, balance of competition? And to your point, trying to put the best product on the ice from a league standpoint that your broadcast partners and your fans are happy.
All right. That was a splintered conversation. Back on point here. You hear it in the background. So Tyler Cleven, he's obviously skating as an extra guy. There's seven on the ice, 7D, because Chychrun is not out there. First rotation. Saw him play the right side. They're just doing some flow drills right now. He played right with Thomas Chabot. Next time he came out, he was left with Holden, right? So he is certainly the extra guy, as you would expect.
Yeah.
But well, keep saying it. And this is just up and down the ice flow drills, like pucks being dumped in, breakout, go down the other end, and repeat going back the other way. That's what's going on right here.
Two-on-ones.
Yeah, but they've morphed into two-on-ones, but it was a full-on breakout before.
Yeah.
This, what's striking me the most, first blush. This is the first time I've ever watched him skate live. I've seen him on the screen many times. The size jumps out at you.
Mm-hmm.
He's mobile. He's a pretty good skater. He gets up and down, pivots. Very, very mobile. That's noticeable for a guy that size. So we'll see how that translates when he gets in. Yeah,
he's lanky and you know, not surprising, kind of spindly at this point of his career. I'm sure he's going to fill out and probably put on another 20 or 30 pounds over the course of time. But yeah, that is the first the wingspan is one of the first things that stands out.
All right, we'll take a break here, come back, and practice. I think we'll be winding down during our next segment. They're going to be out here too long at a getaway day. So we'll hear from DJ Smith in the next little while and get an update on Jacob Chychrun and maybe how close Matthew Joseph is as well, who's out there in the yellow today.
And I mentioned about, you know, Chychrun not being on. I said late-breaking story from the CTC. Doesn't look like Chychrun's on the ice for practice. I thought there was a very nice reply by Petey. Sens Nation whispers they always knew about his injuries. But Ken Murray tweets at us, I thought he went into the boards kind of feet first and twisted his ankle. For balance of the play, he basically stood in front of the net with one hand on his stick, hopefully not a high ankle sprain like Batherson went through. So I guess we'll get some kind of update, but a lot of theories out there about Chychrun's situation.
Don't like hearing that theory.
No, that's not a good one, Ken.
No. Thanks for that. Thanks for the downer.
We're not saying you're wrong. We're not saying you're wrong. We're just saying that's not a pleasant thought.
No, especially with the Batherson just offering that up this week.
He says,
you can tell he hesitated to bring it up because he doesn't want to come across as an excuse guy, but he just said, he basically said, let you know, I feel good. And that's mattered as well.
And we point out, you know, battle for the green jacket, that he's right there. Had a hell of a back check last night, and I don't know if that's part of him feeling better skating, but he did a great job of busting his ass to get back and broke up what would have been a grade A chance at the back door.
All right, back in a moment from Sens practice at CTC. This is In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Oh, I guess we're trying to sell. We're helping out the guys at OLP, eh? You're playing something from Naveed an hour? Okay. There we go.
It's the anniversary of one of my all-time favorite albums.
Oh, yeah.
One of the albums that made me want to play drums.
There you go.
Gotta rep some old-school OLP today. Some classic Jeremy Taggart drum beats.
Yep. And, you know, not to be a bit of a snob, but that's right up your alley to be a bit of a music snob,
oh,
right?
That's what I do.
I'll say this. as they evolved here, I wasn't as big a fan of some of their other stuff. It got a little too sing-songy more often for me.
Rain got a little annoying.
You know, I like the straight-ahead rock and roll stuff from the earlier days. You know, that's just me. That's just me. DJ Smith's off the ice. Practice is over, so we're going to hear from Coach shortly and maybe get some answers to some of the questions that we have. Hopefully Jacob Chychrun's okay. How close is Matthew Joseph to playing? Usually he does not do this, but sometimes he does. Would you talk about your goaltender for the next game? Well, I'll say this. As practice, you know, stragglers are still out here. Fergalicious is off the ice, and Sogard is not. All right?
Tea leaves.
Okay, tea leaves, as our good friend CJ likes to say. So, Dylan Ferguson is not on the ice any longer. Matt Sogard is out there getting extra work, working on his game. Read into that what you will. That's, you know, because usually the coach will not tell you who's going to start and goal, but we'll see. We'll see what the coach has to say. What would CJ do? If it's me, I think I'd roll back with Sogard he's going right now.
Before we came on the air, I said to you, I thought he was really good last night, and one of the things that I thought had been a bit of an issue in his game was rebound control, and I thought he did a great job of that last night. So, yeah, I thought that was a very solid effort by him last night.
Okay. Here we go. Here's Coach.
Well, speaking of White Chalk, can you update us on the guys who were absent from the practice ice before we get into that?
Yeah, Chychrun, doubtful for tomorrow. Everyone else looks like they're probably going to be able to go.
Ridley,
going to be a game time. We'll see how he feels here. He's banged up, couldn't go this morning, so we'll see before we leave how he feels.
Chychrun injury, the result of the slew foot from Edmund?
I'm not sure. I think it was the one he went back and forecheck in the third period there and tugged something there a little bit. So we'll see how he reacts to treatment here today.
You want to offer comment on first blush on Tyler Kloppen?
Impressive skating, size, shot. Now, obviously, we know, you know, the NHL's lot. You know, details and the things that come with it, but the raw package itself, impressive, just the size and the skating to go with it. Now, you know, like we all know, there's growing pains that come with it, but you know, he looks all the physical attributes of a hockey player for sure.
You had him just playing on the left side today. How do you envision using him moving forward,
Tyler? Well, obviously, today was more of just a flow practice, get the guy's legs going, so there's no morning skate tomorrow, so he doesn't know any of the systems. He's never played an NHL game, so we're going to put him in the right scenario. You know, he won't play tomorrow, and then we'll make that decision when we get home, you know, with a practice under his belt and what have you. I mean, it's probably been a bit of a whirlwind for him just getting in the medicals and all the things that have to go with it. I think just watching a game... seeing everything about it, the hotel, new teammates, all that stuff. We'll let them take that in, and then we'll make that call from there.
When you are evaluating and just getting a guy into a new system, how long typically do you believe that takes, or how long do you like to give them?
Well, it's just, first off, I mean, it's a huge jump from, you know, NCAA hockey to the National Hockey League. Is a major, major jump. Same from junior to National Hockey League. So first you got to see, you know, if they're at the pace, which he looked like, you know, he certainly can handle the pace. And then just playing against their own guys, you know, you'll be able to tell. The defense is significantly harder position to come right in. There's so many little things, face-offs, details, all the things, penalty killing power, everything that goes with it, it's a little different than maybe coming in as a winger, you know. So I don't know if there's an exact science as to when's ready, but we're going to get him in there.
Well, the plan would be to play here.
Yeah, our plan as a coaching staff, I mean, if we get another injury, he's in automatic, but at this point, our plan is that we are going to get him in games. my plan is to get him in games. I mean, I'm not – you can't guarantee anything, but, you know, as a coaching staff, we want to get him in.
It's not dictated by your position right now, depending on if you're fighting for a playoffs, no matter what.
No, sometimes you just put a young guy in and they just go. And sometimes that's the best method too. So, you know, we'll give him a couple practices and see how he is. And, you know, and if we think that he can get out there and help us, we'll put him in.
What would if Jacob Chychrun can't play tomorrow night? How does that affect your lineup?
Well, I think one of the things that's underrated about Chicky is how heavy he is defensively. You know, he can eliminate guys from pucks. He's a big guy. He holds net front. He snaps pucks, gets pucks to the net. He's skating up in the play. It's a huge loss for us. You know, but Holdy would draw back in, and, you know, we'll shuffle, you know, the partners a little bit. We don't get last change on the road regardless. So, I mean, Holdy's played a... you know, played really well for us, and he certainly can help out and try and limit that. He'll help us on the penalty kill. But I thought Chicky was playing really well last night, and I wanted to see him and Shabby get an extended, you know, ride here and see how they look. But if he can't go, I'm sure he'll be back shortly after.
Matt Joseph back on the ice. Do you have any timetable yourself when he can play?
Just talk to him. He's not there yet. I was hopeful. Hopeful that he'll play the home game, but I mean, he's not there.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, there's head coach DJ Smith. So, Jacob Chychrun, CJ, is doubtful, and when asked when it happened, he says, yeah, it's the very last play. He's going back to the end boards to retrieve a puck. He gets hit, and he goes in a little awkward, and you can see him kind of favor a little bit as he went to the bench and he went down the tunnel, and yeah. DJ says he tugged something and get treatment today and we'll see you tomorrow. Doesn't sound like he's going to play tomorrow. Tyler Cleven is not going to play tomorrow, but the coach was a little more committal than the GM. The coaching staff, we want to play this guy.
Yes.
He is going to play games. And he kept on saying practices. And I wondered this yesterday. Doesn't Thursday against the Flyers make a lot of sense? You play Monday against the Panthers, then you get more practices. You get that extra day. That's the last break in the schedule where you get more than a day off between games. Monday, Thursday, next week.
Yeah.
Thursday against the Flyers, to me, would make some sense if you're targeting to get them in.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think Sunday's going to be a day off probably, right? You're going to be playing 3 and 4. You got a game on Monday. Feels like Sunday might be a day off, and then you play Monday. And like you said, so Tuesday, Wednesday. I think I like that timing. I think that's a pretty solid theory by you right there.
Unless the Chychrun thing's longer and we see where this goes, and you're only one injury away now from he's here and he plays. So we'll see how it all shakes out. All right, we'll take our top hour mid-show break. We'll come back. Still to come on the show, we got to get to a lot more of you coming in at 1200 and the myriad of things we've thrown at you. It is, the scoreboard watching continues. I know it's for Sens fans, and if you're doing that, you enjoyed the out-of-town scoreboard. It still looks tough, but the team's hanging in there. As CJ and I pretty much think, maybe you got 1 point to give. All right, let's use some golf. I'll give you a stroke. They got one stroke to give here. That's it.
Yeah.
The rest of the way. We're back in a moment. I'm in the box at TSN 1200.